Am I too late? Look, I won a coin, a gold coin. Oh, isn't this wonderful? Look at this room. What a beautiful room. Have you seen this room?
You are tearing me apart, Lisa!
Avada Kedavra! The show's over. You can't talk. I just killed you with my wand.
Oh, Jeff, you adorable little man.
So, friends, before we get into self-indulgent things, this is This Week
in... First, welcome to This Week in Mormons, the show where everything's made up and the points don't matter.
That's what I was going to say. Jeff. Welcome to our beloved podcast, where we ring in our very first show of 2014, and what better day to publish it than on January 1st. So we're happy to be here with all of you to talk about Mormon news
very
and
excited. Passionate.
Happy New Year to you, Alan.
Thank you, Jeff. Happy New Year to you, my friend.
How was your New Year's? Did you spend it in the arms of a beloved?
In the arms of the angel. That's where I find comfort. Yeah, no, I did not. Let's see. I went to some friends from the old Hawaii. I have a family that I do love dearly.
I know.
That has moved up here, and I went and visited them and hung out, and so just played games with their kids, and we played Hilarium, which was very funny because the mom would throw away any cards that had suggestive things. So, you had to act things out and then match up between them. Uh-huh. There's one like, "You're a stripper," and she's like, "No, we're throwing those away." It made me laugh.
Well, at least they're trying to raise their kids with values.
Yeah, I'll be the worst parent for that reason. Let's be like, no, that's funny. Look, our 4-year-old's pretending to be a stripper. I'm laughing.
I'm in love with the stripper, yo.
She's got a body like a goddess.
Well, good. I'm glad you had a fine New Year's.
Yeah, it was delightful. But we rang it in. We banged our pots and pans, drank our Martinellis, and had our toasts.
I couldn't find any Martinellis. We were Martinelli-less.
Jeff, how was... Well, yeah, probably in D.C. that's not a real thing. How was yours?
No, Martinelli's are very easy to find in all locations. They didn't have it at Target for some reason. Ours was good. We got back from California around like 7, 8 p.m., and so we decided to run a couple of errands, try to find some Martinelli's. No luck, but we hung out. My dear Danielle was a little sick, so we just chilled, and there weren't any parties going on. Most of our friends were out of town anyway, so we just hung out, lived the New Year, loved it, watched Seacrest. Good time.
Would you care to qualify this wand fiasco?
No one can see this wand but you. We're not live broadcasting.
You started the show with a cadaver badaver.
You don't even know the spell. This is why in a wizard's duel, I will defeat you.
All right. Yeah, I know you can
defeat
me, buddy.
You'll stand there twiddling your thumbs, wondering how to levitate me, and I will say, Wingardium Leviosa, and you will rise.
How do you have a woman that sleeps with you? How is that even a real thing? I am baffled right now. You're wearing an ugly Christmas sweater with a wand.
This is stylish. Tell my wife it's ugly. She bought it for me, you heathen.
Jeff, and then you wave your wand around, and you know the smells. That's what's great.
Yeah, well, here...
My true wish for you is to have you write a book of dirty spells that we can sell in some seedy Amazon website.
Uh-huh.
We'll get it leather bound, and then it'll just be like, is your marriage bland? Get this wand from Dumbledore and these spells.
You know, we could write an article about like Mormon spells.
What would Mormon spells
I feel like
be?
That's like, I don't know. I'm just thinking of things that could trend. Anyway.
Prepare Avery the Sacramenti.
For a little background on what on earth we're talking about, since none of you can see our video feed, Al informed me when I was in California that he had sent me a Christmas gift. And then he said,
I sent it
poop.
To D.C. like
he
a
sent
rookie.
It to D.C. I had no he idea. Said, darn, I forgot. I sent it to D.C., so you won't get it till you get back. So we got back last night, and I opened a package. And on the inside, it said, what did the note say? Something like, this will help you be...
This will give you unprecedented powers in the bedroom.
That's exactly what it said. Yes. And I look at the box. I haven't opened it.
I thought it was brilliant.
At this point. And I looked at my wife and I just say, I said, is this going to be like a Harry Potter wand or something? Is that what's going to happen right here? And sure enough, I open it up and I behold Dumbledore's wand, the Elder Wand, the most powerful wand ever created.
Which,
woo!
Which I feel like this was the perfect gift.
Here's the thing. It cracked me up because, sure, I like Harry Potter, but I'm not someone who buys paraphernalia associated with movie franchises. That's a step too far. I leave that one to my beloved brother. Love you, Colin.
Yeah.
Great job with the swords.
Go Lord of the Rings.
But so I've got my Elder Wand now, and no one can defeat me.
I hope it gets a prominent place in your home, Jeff. That's my sincerest hope.
Danielle was in just fits of giggles last night as we were trying to go to bed because I just had this wand, and she thought it was so funny. I was casting spells like this. Doo-doo-doo! Doo-doo-doo! Expecto Patronum!
Again, Jeff, I'm baffled that you have a woman who loves you. This is so
stupefy! Stupefy! Expelliarmus!
All right. Woo! Anyway,
I'm going to do.
Put the wand away for the rest of the show.
I can't. It's become a part of me. I take it everywhere I go.
I hope you do. I really do.
I think I might want to start like an Instagram or a Tumblr page where I just have footage of my wand in various places, like ordering, like tapping the McDonald's ordering menu, or just you know, it would be like Bat Dad, but with Dumbledore's wand.
Yeah. Just casting spells.
Just casting spells. I'm going to make up spells, like you said. So that's what happened.
More Salticus.
Anywho,
see if they
I do
salt.
Very much enjoy this gift because it's just like you to send me something that is both amusing and insulting at the same time. So,
and yeah, completely worse.
So thank you.
But, you know, I do what I can. That was a good run, man. That was it's good old Happy New Year. Do you have resolutions, Jeff? What will be lovely about 2014?
I don't know. I haven't made any
resolutions. How was 2013? Was it a good year for you?
Well, yes. I mean, I got married, so.
That was last year.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're coming up on our 1 year. Remember, it was last January.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay, yeah. So 2013 was marriage. Pretty good. You know, marriage. I feel like that's a big get. And
that's huge.
I enjoyed it. I continue to enjoy it. 2013 overall was a good year. I found the first year of marriage to be just delightful, honestly. People talk about it being difficult, but I've just had a good time. It's been great.
Yeah, there you go.
So, how about your?
Well, I think 2013 was an all-around solid year, but for 2014, I mean, I'm almost past the resolution thing where I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to keep being me. I'm just going to do my thing.
That's what you got to do.
I'm not even going to try to be better.
There are a few resolutions that I've chosen to stick with and actually kept. One of them was 4 years ago when I said I was going to be good about journal writing again. And that one I've actually been good at, and I'm glad I have. That was a very specific resolution I made, and so that one's been worth it.
I could stand to do that again. I need to get back.
Al, I've said it before on this show. Part of you have served as part of my inspiration. When we spent time together, I was always impressed with how dutifully you took to your journal to do things.
And I was a rock star.
And I said, this guy's got a lot of things to do, but he makes sure to write in his journal. And I always noticed it, so I, you know, sure, that's one thing to take into account. So you should write in your journal. Write in your journal. Journalist.
Now I'm like a drug addicted Macklemore. Don't be like me, kids.
Don't listen to Macklemore. It's profane.
But very entertaining. All right. So, Jeff, we've had from a Mormon news standpoint,
it's a great week.
It's been a slow week all around, mainly because we're all celebrating. There's been a lot of holidays. I mean, I think probably anti-Mormon folk and pro-Mormon folk together have taken New Year's Eve and New Year's off, and probably Christmas and maybe, you know, the 26th, something like that.
Yeah.
So we're all, I mean, we've got about 3 days of solid material here. But people, some of the big stuff happening, mm-hmm. the church released another one of their, in their strides to be more transparent sort of editorial moments.
Yes.
They did a spot on the Book of Mormon translation.
Okay.
Which was, so we've had in the last, what is it, every 2 weeks they're doing one of these?
I don't know if it's a flat every 2 weeks, but it's close to that. Yeah, that's what it seemed.
Polygamy, yeah. We had Blacks and the Priesthood, both like landmark ones. Book of Mormon translation, all these in an effort to help Mormons understand more of the nuances, I think, around some of this stuff. Because it's, I mean, what we paint the picture as normally, all blacks of the priest, the polygamy, and Book of Mormon the translation of the Book of Mormon, are all a very rosy picture. And so this is sort of taking into account some of the attacks against that, or some of the things that maybe we don't mention.
To be clear, I don't think it necessarily says it's not. There's not a rosy picture involved. I just think the church has always been very PR conscious in our depictions of the Book of Mormon translation, and so we've tried to make it kind of quote normal in a way.
Well, we tell the stuff that we want to talk about, right? We just don't mention some of the other stuff. So what I thought was interesting in this is they come right out and mention that. You know, like the seer stone that Joseph Smith would carry around,
right?
Which he found well before he had the gold plates, and he used it for hunting for treasure and trying to find things in the ground. And then after he received the plates and the Urim and Thummim, carrying the stone around was much more convenient, and he began to understand more its purpose and it could be used for higher things, and on it went, right? So, like, that's one of those things where you always hear people are like, Joseph Smith, he was a treasure hunter. And you're like, well, was he? I'm not sure. There's no lesson in all of the church history lessons that we get in Sunday school that will mention Joseph Smith hunting for treasure.
No.
Right? That's what I think is interesting.
Or seer stones, for that matter. None of the gospel doctrine lessons that we just finished up, you know, like even on Sunday school bonanza for church history, nowhere in the lesson material does it talk about the seer stones. It might make a passing mention of the Urim and the Thummim.
But, that's what I was going to ask. Were you referencing the Urim
and Thummim? No, because these are two separate things. So it might mention those, but the seer stones, which he famously would put in a hat to make it dark and then be able to see text for the scriptures, that's not really anything that's ever discussed. And so I'm glad this article addresses that, because honestly, who cares? I mean, the other good thing here is that some would say that because if physical instruments were used in a translation process, it kind of calls into question the divinity of Joseph Smith. Like, if he's called of God, why can't he just translate? Like we see in all those classic depictions our whole lives of him just sitting there with the plates, reading along and just dictating stuff. But yeah. I like that the article points out that the Urim and the Thummim are, of course, mentioned elsewhere, but the Bible also discusses many tools that are used by prophets to facilitate their work. I mean, you got the rod of Aaron, the brass serpent, holy anointing oils, the Ark of the Covenant, even, you know, the Savior, you might remember, mixed dirt from the ground with saliva to heal a blind man. And, you know, how much of that is necessary? How much of it is just symbolism or a required demonstration of faith to carry out a miracle?
Or helpful for, like, I mean, if you're trying to teach an 18-year-old kid how to translate the gold plates, I mean, maybe it's easier, right? Maybe it's easier to teach him how to, like, I think of even myself trying to learn how to work with the Spirit.
Right.
There's some frustration there. The other thing that I love about this stuff is, you know, a lot of times we'll be very hesitant to, you know, even think about him with a seer stone or what would that be, or that seems so crazy. But, I mean, we carry around a cell phone all day that gets messages from outer space and displays them in a nice fancy way, and we can read them, right? I mean, the idea that God could take a rock and display a message on there is not so crazy, especially if we can build something ourselves that does something, you know, like what a smartphone can do. I mean, it's like, all right, like think God-like here. This is not something that's crazy and absurd. This is like, oh, this makes sense. He gives them a tool to communicate with them. That would work.
And I don't think that's weird at all. I also enjoy that it talks about the different translations. There's the original, like, manuscript that we have. They say about 28% of it exists today. And then the printer's manuscript. This also allots for various punctuation changes over time, because when Joseph Smith dictated, he did not dictate the punctuation, whether there was a comma in a sentence or anything like that. That just came in time, and even at the printer's press, they added stuff upon reading it as to what they thought should be there. It is interesting, because simple things like punctuation can make a difference in the meaning of something. And so I find it compelling that that's something that wasn't specified perhaps immediately during the translation into something that is developed over time to better understand. Because honestly, you can throw a comma in a sentence and it changes the entire meaning.
Well, so I love that the church is doing this. They're making an effort to kind of collect some of the historical stuff and put it in a place where we can talk about it. Because, like we've said a bunch of times, we're not doing ourselves any favors by not studying church history, right? Like, I feel like the people that, you know, if you just dabble a little bit, you know, and you hear some things and stuff, that might have the ability to shake a testimony, but But if you study more, you find answers, right? I mean, don't be afraid of diving in and figuring something out, because that'll be helpful.
That said, though, but, of course, you've had your year for church history, and now we're doing the Old Testament in gospel doctrine. I'm just mostly kidding.
Get ready.
But if we can plug Sunday School Bonanza, we will be doing Old Testament, and those will be posted. So if you've if you've never listened to Sunday School Bonanza, it's about a 15-minute podcast where we go over gospel doctrine lessons to prepare either the teacher or the student to just be more involved and take more to class so that they can get more out of attendance or out of teaching, perhaps. So
well, it's just giving you a brief primer on the topic. So you've had the chance to ruminate.
Yeah,
if you
exactly.
will.
So that way you actually go there and have things to say. But back to this. Speaking of, we were in gospel doctrine on Sunday, and this guy teaching used this incredible flow chart, if you will, where he drew OT.
I would.
And then a curving line that went to NT, and then another curving line went to BM, then another one that went to D and C. And he explained to us how we go in this rotation every 4 years.
It's like a circle of life.
It was like he spent a long time.
A circle of Jesus.
He said, and after we get to this OT, next year, it's going to go over here to the New Testament. And then we'll do the Book of Mormon again. And then we'll do church history again. And
you're like, hold up.
Yeah, I was.
This is crazy.
If it weren't for his diagram, I might have been confused by a 4-year rotation. Anywho, like you said, Al, I very much enjoy that the church is doing these things. I like this one quote from Emma Smith, because there are those who also argue that Joseph Smith merely wrote the Book of Mormon himself with his own knowledge. And that could, you know, which I think is unlikely. I mean, aside from spiritual manifestations, just the fact that it was done in a comparatively brief period of time. But I love what Emma said about him. She said that at the time of the translation, Joseph could, as she says, quote, neither write nor dictate a coherent, well-worded letter, let alone dictate a book like the Book of Mormon. The man couldn't even write a well-worded letter. Bangarang.
I love that that's his wife that busts him out.
I know. But it's good. Honestly, it reminds me of Lucille in the first episode of Arrested Development, when, like, the man doesn't know how to do anything. He can't even work our shredder. Anyway. I'm glad.
All right, so, yeah.
Hey, did I tell you, have we talked since I went to the Mormon Battalion Visitor Center last week?
No, we have not. I saw pictures, though.
So we went there.
What did you learn about the Mormon Battalion, Jeff?
It might be of interest. I mean, I liked it because...
Is this the same thing as the Mormon Island?
No, we'll get to that. Which makes me think of the MILF Island episode of 30 Rock. Anyway.
I don't think we can say that.
No, okay. For those who don't know, they're in San Diego, there's a visitor center dedicated to the history of the Mormon Battalion, a Mormon march that went from the Nauvoo area, I believe, or was it Missouri? Nauvoo. Quarters. It was Council Bluffs area, yeah.
There we go.
And so they marched all the way to what is today San Diego to help the U.S. Army in its battle against Mexico, as the U.S. was illegally trying to obtain half of Mexico for itself, and they succeeded. Now...
Illegally? Jeff, in war, there is no legal... There was no Geneva Convention then.
At least we did not treat the soldiers or the hostages, the captives, well. So they've had a visitor center there for a long time. My understanding previously, it was just kind of this whatever. You go in there and there's a little diagram and not much to brag about. About 4 years ago, they reopened it after a massive reconstruction to make it almost like a theme park attraction. And it was actually one of the first things you and I talked about when we first started this show.
They have a Mormon Battalion ride?
No, not a ride. But it's funny. If you go back to the very first episode of This Week in Mormons, one of our items of discussion was the new Mormon Battalion Visitor Center. So I finally got to check it out. No, it's more of an interactive tour experience where you get corralled in this little entryway for your tour time. And, look at you with your 5S. Fancy boy. Fancy.
I'm turning my video off if you can't focus,
Fancy
Jeff.
Boy. So a sister missionary invites you in, but it gets actually interactive. The picture, the portraits on the wall talk to you.
Do they wink?
They talk, they walk out of their frame. It's much like the portraits in Harry Potter, as it were, walking out of their frames. So...
You're so dumb, dude.
But you go through a bunch of different rooms and they just explain the history of the Mormon Battalion. And it's good and it's cool. I'm surprised the church invested so many resources in something that is important, but you know, you wouldn't call it one of these defining moments of church history. At least I wouldn't. I think it's a good moment in church history. But it's not like we go to the Hill Cumorah Visitor Center and there's a great tour that goes through, you know, the restoration
And perhaps stuff. There will
maybe
be.
Maybe there will be. So then,
I think as a church, this is kind of not directly related, but I think that there is a. I mean, if you had as much money as the church does, right? I mean, you try and spend as smartly as you can, and you're spending a lot of it on humanitarian aid and stuff. But what do you spend the rest of it on? I mean, it's like we're building temples. No. We have enough temples right
junkets,
now.
Junkets, Al. You spend it on junkets.
Put it in bonds. No, there's a legitimate. I mean, question here of should the church just go through and spruce up everything it's got, or should we go make all of our chapels really awesome?
Well, I don't think the church is actually in as much of a position to just spend money hand over fist like you might suggest. I don't think we're hurting necessarily, but I don't think they can just say, you know what, let's just make this fancy visitor center because we can. Let's just do it.
We actually are. We are, Jeff.
Oh, you're privy to the church's secret finances.
Their secret finances? No, we're like if they can spend, what do they spend on City Creek?
But that was, it was a lot of money.
And that was what? That's an investment that'll pay off over the next X number of years, but that's not something they're making money on immediately. They obviously had the slush fund to push money
around. I'm sure we have plenty of money to move around.
That's what I'm saying. What do you spend your money on? Should we go and just buy cool things?
It's actually a good point because we think about all the needs of the church. But yeah, where does that put us if we just have extra money to burn? Like, should we just say, just do stuff? Do we just keep it for no reason?
Is there any sort of responsibility? Because they do. I mean, like, anybody can go to a bishop. Anybody that's poor that needs help can go to a bishop, member or not, and receive help, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not as quite as simple just saying, give it to me, and they will.
Well,
but
yeah. Well, no, he'll give you things to work on, and yeah. Like, you can't, you know, you have to do X, Y, and Z. But, like, you can get food, and you can get help, even financial help. If you need it, right?
Yeah.
So that's there.
That's there.
What else? What else do you do? Mormon Battalion theme parks.
Boom! I wish it were a full theme park.
You just want the cheap potatoes. Well, that's
Al,
cool.
I
I'm
panned
glad
for
you had a good.
You
time.
Can pan for gold at the end. You can climb a tower with a commanding view of Old Town San Diego.
But you can pan for gold,
and you can take a picture. Yes, inside of a wagon of sorts. I mean, they've got the photo spot. They've got everything thought out for this place. It's incredible.
Did you enjoy it? Was it fun?
I enjoyed it. It was fine. I mean, I don't.
Okay.
The one thing I feel like is because they've got sister missionaries who run the tours, and they wear pioneer / Mexican style dresses to celebrate.
Oh, that's hot.
The history. That's hot. And it was good. I didn't find it to be as spiritually moving as perhaps they want it to be. Like, I really got the impression that they wanted us to have a good missionary spiritual experience from it. I just found it to be interesting. It felt like all the discussions of the spirit were sort of just tacked on. I don't know. But it was good. It wasn't as, it was not like the first vision or anything, but it was good.
Well, that's great, man. I'm glad that the Mormon Battalion did you well.
It was nice to visit, nice to finally see it and say hello. Good times all around.
You cowardly young man.
Thank you.
So let's see. Oh, what was the other? Oh, Mormon Island, Jeff. Mormon Island. I want to talk about Mormon Island.
Tell me about Mormon Island, the new reality show.
Mormon Island.
Brought to you by Jerry Bruckheimer and Mark Ellis.
Mormon Island, yeah, it's a Bachelorette spinoff. It's like the Bachelor Pad, but for Mormons.
Al will be starring in it.
Not really. I guess, well, and Jeff, you would be better explaining this than I, but over in Folsom, California, there used to be a settlement of Mormons, and then it got covered by Folsom Lake when they created the wall that holds water. And nobody's seen it since the 50s, and now the water levels are so low that you can go out there. And archaeologists and sightseers have found nails there. So that's fun.
Well, Mormon Island, during the mining years, this, of course, got settled during the famed California Gold Rush of 1849, and one of
Jeff, you're saying all the things I just said.
You didn't mention the year of the Gold Rush. You mentioned sure. that has not been seen since
Keep
1955.
Going.
The Gold Rush, of course, is one of many compelling and wonderful parts of California state history, and
you love California.
So
I can't even take you serious with this wand. Keep going.
I love this wand. I'm gonna put my memories in a pensieve. Oh, I'm stretching the memory out of my brain.
Yeah, then put it in a pensieve so we can all see it. There you
now
go. Keep going,
can
Jeff.
See it. Anyway, yeah. So there were just more. A lot Mormons did go to the Gold Rush, which was centered on Northern California, And that's why they have this great Grand Mormon settlement. 2,500 people, 4 hotels, a school, saloons. Hello.
So you get, yeah, you can see stone foundations, capped well. And
now, what I'm not sure about is, I can't imagine that that town existed much later than that. But I don't know. So it was like a ghost town for a while because they didn't flood the area until 1955 to create the lake. And that's why the town's underwater. So I don't know if there's anything between the gold, you know, those 100 years in between. Was Mormon Island an active Mormon community? I don't know.
I believe it was. And I just choose to believe that.
I like that they have found a rusty nails. Good for them. Anyways, it's kind of cool, though. I mean, there's a lot of interesting archaeology out there for especially towns that were submerged because of reservoir flooding and stuff like that. There's actually, you can find these online, actually. There are some.
I feel like there should be a teen novel from a Mormon author on this topic.
Okay.
I call on you, Steve Westover.
Oh.
J.K. Rowling.
I want J.K. Rowling to do it. Very good. Other news. Now, the 86th Operating Temple of the Church, which is the Quebec Temple, is slated to go down for about 18 months for some serious renovation. So there's no word on...
I thought it was 13 months.
I said 13 to 14 months. It's approximately 13 months. Now, there's no word...
You said 18.
I'm sorry. There's no word about the nature of these renovations. If it's closing for that long, this is obviously more than just, you know, SWAT.
We believe they have to close it that long to strip the smell of the French out.
That's
but we're
actually
not sure.
A fair point. They've got to get the smell of poutine out of the drapes.
Too much gravy and
curds.
Goat cheese curds.
Curds. But this is interesting because temples go down a couple of times a year for general maintenance, and that's normal. You know, they swap out carpets, new chairs, things like that. Very commonplace for temples. It's just general upkeep. When they go down for a longer period of time, it's because of some sort of serious rehabilitation or expansion. And I find it curious that there has been no mention about what this could be. Do they have faulty plumbing, electrical systems?
Well, no, like the La'ie Temple in Hawaii closed for...
But that was because...
Almost 2 years.
But they closed it.
And it was for modernizing it.
Modernizing it, exactly. But that was a clear purpose. There's no announced purpose for the Montreal closure. And it's a tiny temple. They haven't said they're going to expand it or anything like that, which would probably be longer than a year if they were expanding it. So the main question here is, not aside from just what are they actually doing, why is it closed for so long... This temple is going to be about 15 years old this year, along with a lot of the other mini temples in our run-up at the end of the 90s to build.
Yeah, we had 99 in 2000.
We wanted to have 100 temples before the year 2000. And so it makes me question whether other mini temples, if there's some sort of flaw in their construction that's going to require a number of them to go down for a year or so. And go down for a year.
How do you mean flaw in the construction,
Jeff? I don't
know.
We don't know what the problem is.
They found a bad concrete guy, and he was the one that hit everything?
It could be bad concrete, foundation work that needs to be done. Something, because temples are supposed to be built to, you know, stand the test of time. And I understand they need maintenance, general maintenance, to be better. But typically when we close them down for a long period of time, it's for a specific purpose that usually involves just expanding it or just fixing something. You know, it's something major, but we don't know it.
Well, I wonder too, the one other thing that could be said about that is, like, with a smaller temple, the facilities are more focused. And so if you have a heavy use, like, let's say the Saints of Montreal were really good at going to the temple.
They're not.
but let's say they were. And then if they went a lot, I mean, like, you're all using the same two bathroom stalls, right? Whereas in L.A., you have that past, you know, spread out over many, many more, and it's the infrastructure is built to handle the heavy usage, right?
Yeah.
So maybe there is something to be said around that.
Yes.
And then we can measure the faithfulness of the saints by how many temples will close in the next year for big renovations. Yeah, that's what we do. And then we'll say, man, Montreal's got it. Hey, Omaha, how come you guys are fine till 2025?
I don't know. So I'm just curious about it. Usually there's an announced reason.
Monticello? Where's Monticello in all this, Jeff? They were the first ones to be done.
I don't see Monticello or Colonia Juarez on top of this. So I'm just curious about, this is not a major story, but I want to follow this and just see if we see a trend develop amongst the mini temples, if something went down during.
Keep a wary eye.
A weather eye.
On these mini temples, people.
You never know what's going to happen. But also, and just so you know, Montreal people, if you need to go to the temple, do it soon, otherwise you've got to go down to Toronto.
Oh, gross.
I know.
Let's see. Some of the other stuff coming out. We have Mitt Romney has a documentary coming out on Netflix in a couple of weeks.
I can't wait for
I think
this.
2 more weeks. Yeah, I'm actually really, really excited to see it, too. I feel like he was painted in such a crummy light as the robotic.
Yeah, it's all the mainstream media's candidate. Fault. It's all the media's fault.
Well, it's a lot of his fault, too. I mean, it's, you can't comb your hair like that and expect people not to think you're perfect. Well, so now there's the documentary of his campaign. I hope it's like The War Room with James Carville and Bill Clinton. Mm-hmm. That would be great.
The other thing is it'll probably
be... I'm excited for people just to see, well, like me especially, to see him in like his natural element trying to figure this poop out.
Yeah, and I love the way, like, if you haven't seen the trailer, folks, it's compelling. You see a camera just pan up on Mitt Romney and see him looking at his phone, and you hear a family member just say something like, "So you're going to lose?" And he just goes, "Yep, looks that way." And then they say, "I don't have the president's number. Does anybody have the president's number?" And it's this funny scene when no one in the family has a number to call President Obama. And some handler in the back says, "Oh, yeah, I've got it. Don't worry about it." He's like, "Oh, good. Good to know. Good to know we're able to handle that one. Good to see." But so it does look funny. I mean, this is not an endorsement one way or the other of the candidate, but at least to see more of the behind the scenes of a man who even recognized that people saw him as like the flip-flopping Mormon candidate. And that's the general way to sum him up. So I think it looks interesting.
Yeah.
It'll be good. I hope it's good. I hope it doesn't disappoint. Good job, Mitt Romney.
As do I.
Another thing going down that there's a stake in Togo, according to Al.
What?
Because he pushed this article.
What does that mean?
Well, Togo is a West African nation next to Ghana and Benin. And now Lomé Togo is going to have a new stake, which is it's a big deal. I love the church growth in Africa. Togo is not a particularly large country. And it also suffers from...
How many people live in Togo?
Total population, Wikipedia. Not a ton. Let's see here. About 6.6 million.
6.4 million
people live in Togo, which is decent for its comparatively small size. But Togo is also an authoritarian dictatorship, so it's a miracle that we have missionary work and things happening there at all. Really.
Really? We're just like in the good graces of the... the emperor of Togo?
I don't know. It's obviously, this is not the first time the church has had a presence in a country that is not a democracy or anything. I mean, yeah, we've done this before, but it's great to see a whole stake developing somewhere like Togo. I mean, Togo's not a big population center of Africa. It's not a country you hear much about. But there it is. We're going to have a new stake.
Wow.
I love it.
Good for us.
Good to hear. I love seeing the growth of the church.
12 branches.
And now,
are we allowed to travel to Togo? Is there like a CIA
State Department warning?
There?
Let's look it up. I'll tell you right now. State Department travel warnings.
Togo.
Did you find it already? Because I'm looking for it. Togo,
no,
Bureau of Consular Affairs. Well, victims of crime, problems, tips for travel. Well, whatever. I don't know anything.
Like, do we have active missionaries there, you think?
I'm not sure. That's what I was actually going to be looking up right now over at Kimora.com, if none of you have ever been there. Incredibly useful website. Love it.
Also, Kimora, New York is very good, too.
No, not as good. Search LDS database using the map. There's no. They changed their layout. Now I don't know how to find things.
Savages? Missiology? Is that where we go?
There's the Missiology Encyclopedia. Man, they changed everything. Well, let's look up Togo.
Hello again. Hello.
Before you do it, they have these overlay maps that are terrific. You can actually see the boundaries of things. And
finally.
Togo. Let's see here. They haven't even updated this yet.
Well, there you go.
So there we go. But it does say there's the Benin-Cotonou mission. Benin's a neighboring country. Benin and Togo are one country, so presumably they have missionaries there in one way or another.
Fantastic.
We should know
these
things.
We're doing great things.
We should know these things before we have to look them up.
No, I like it this way. It keeps it more low-key.
Fair
Thanks,
enough.
Everybody.
Fair enough, you monkey.
Hey, also, we were nominated and seconded for the Mormon of the Year
award
over on Times and Seasons.
And then we were jilted.
Yeah, no, now we're not on the ballot. So we're figuring that out. But that was, I mean, it was neat. It was mainly really, I mean, it was just sweet because Jeff nominated us and then I seconded the nomination, which maybe that's how they figured out that we were the same people.
No, they put that it in here. No, because this is a separate post from the original nominations. And it says right here, nominated and seconded, in parentheses, will appear on the ballot. It's a big list. 31 people are listed. But right there, it says Jeff and Al of the This Week in Mormons podcast. Right there.
Jeff will not sleep until we are on the ballot for the Times and Seasons Mormon because of the Year. And if we are, people, be ready because we will be relentless in trying to get
I was very excited about this. And then
this will be our moment.
But here's the thing. This is an updated post. But then if you go to the actual post that has the little voting buttons to vote for Mormon of the Year, where is This Week in Mormons on that list? It seems everyone else made the transition over, as it said, will appear on the ballot. But we are not here. And it's suspect. Oh, we made it. Mm. They updated it.
We're in.
I just updated.
We've done it.
There it is. It says, Jeff and Al of This Week in Mormons for using their podcast to make difficult issues more palatable for a general audience.
Oh, my gosh. Jeff. High five, my boy. High five. What a great moment for everyone. Thank you. We just want to take a minute.
I love our comments.
In this 2014.
I love our comments. I love our comments on here. Al, we demand our vote be heard. Can you at least capitalize the name of our show when you fill things out?
No.
Mother of Pearl.
I do what I want.
You wouldn't do this for the quilt shop. Treat us with professionalism. My gosh.
Jeff, I'm a grown man.
Folks, go to Times and we'll post a link to it. So now we encourage you to go to Times and Seasons, and we're about 10 down.
I'm voting now.
Look for Jeff and Al. Do we care if we win? Not really. And I don't think they even released the final numbers. But vote for us.
We've got one vote so far, and there are some people with 37.
Oh.
I love what's happening right
now. Where do we go? I don't see us here now. Did we get added in late? I just voted, but I don't see it anywhere.
No, the results were like 4 up on the results page.
Oh, there we are. Yeah, buddy. Who are we tied with so far? Someone named Margaret Young. The president of the Oregon Peace Officers Association has no votes.
Maxine Hanks, and we're beating, one of the September 6 excommunicated, and then she got rebaptized. We're beating her.
We're beating Denver Snuffer.
Good.
We're also beating
Dr. Hansen of the Fares Foundation. Good.
We are also currently beating Daniel Peterson, formerly of the Maxwell Institute. And his
he's not Mormon of the Year. No. Jeff and Al are.
LDS feminists are doing very, very well. I feel like that should be broken out between Ordain Women, Let Women Pray, and Wear Pants Day. Those are different causes.
How can that be Mormon of the Year? That's not even a person.
Well, it's like Times Person of the year they gave it to you, because YouTube got big that year. So that's who won. Everyone who uses YouTube.
Stupid.
I know. Everyone, anyway, go and vote for us. Let's see if we can beat the Mormon feminists.
I'm putting it on Facebook now.
Everyone, go beat the Mormon feminists. We'll settle for a bronze medal if we have to. That's fine.
Oh, that's great. Jeff, we are going to have so much fun with this. People, thanks for being a part of this moment.
I think voting only lasts for a week or so. So if you're hearing this show, get in there. Don't delay.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
No.
In other news, Book of Mormon 365. What do you think about this, Al?
Oh, so this is an Instagram account that is telling you what to read that day. And today, apparently, you're supposed to read 15 chapters. Is that right? Or 15 verses? What was that? It's Instagram.com/BofM365. And they say today I'm verses. Supposed to read.
If you think
first
about
Nephi,
the Book of Mormon, the Book of Mormon 15. In English is about 5. Yeah, I mean, the Book of Mormon is what, about 535 pages long, divided by 365. That means you have to read 1.46 pages per day. To get to the
which
end.
Is not bad.
So
I mean,
I'm a little disappointed in this, even though it's amassed an incredible following.
Yeah,
no,
like
that's
30,000 followers.
I'm really impressed with how much of a following they've got. Alan and I thought they might be fake. We thought they might be faking it or something, but it's legit, and it's only about a week old. So yeah, what this is they post to your Instagram, and I thought it was actually going to have the verses in the Instagram photo. Like, here, we'll give you what to read. Instead, they just post, like Al said, telling you to go read these certain verses, and that'll get you through it, which is
okay.
But still,
I mean, if you're making a New Year's resolution to work through the Book of Mormon next year, that's a good place to spend your time.
Amen.
So we are not affiliated you want to get on with them, and they're not affiliated with anyone.
Instagram handle is
Go ahead. Go ahead, Jeff.
Exactly, yeah. This is not something we're doing, unfortunately. But it's at BofM365 if you want to find it on Instagram and subscribe. If you follow along every day and you're dutiful, they are promising you that you will have read the Book of Mormon by year's end.
That's wonderful. Okay. Wonderful. And the
counselor.
Let's see, there's nothing else really interesting here, Jeff.
Interesting things.
The church missionaries provided some cleanup of a historic site in Cambodia. So the Helping Hand shirts for them are white. News!
Not just any steak in Cambodia.
Phnom Penh.
Some of it was a Khmer Rouge. Killing field type of thing. So you can relate to this in Ukraine. Come on. Holodomor or whatever that was. Baba Yar.
Oh, Baba Yar.
A lot of this was almost like cleaning Baba Yar. Similar in a way.
I've never even heard of the killing fields of Khmer Rouge.
Oh, Al, you need to read your 1970s Southeast Asian history. It's terrible. It's just awful.
Okay.
Every detail about it. I won't pretend to, but I just know broadly. The Khmer Rouge was a military junta that ran Cambodia for a long time, which is why we also had lots of Cambodian refugees in the United States in the 70s, not just Vietnamese ones. And they were just—it was just terrible. They just wiped out lots of people, basically genocide, that sort of thing. It was a mess.
Eek. Okay,
but Cambodia now is a happy place, and we have members of the church there.
All right, let's see. Also, you can go to Gilbert Temple open house. You can get tickets.
Tickets
right now
are available. Hit it. And oof. Also, I don't understand this article from Deseret News. I think they're trying to be funny, but it really comes off as someone who's in Utah County and takes things too seriously. It's called My LDS Bishop is a Huskies fan. And so he's going to teach you how to deal with when your bishop does not support the why. That's what the author will do.
That's a genuine problem, Jeff. That is a genuine problem. Great article.
I'm hoping it's a joke because I would love to add that I get very tired of going to church whenever there's a BYU game, and that's a big thing just mentioned over the pulpit, not in a sense that they're wasting talk time, but more in the sense of just the assumption that we're all Mormon here, so clearly we all care about what happened with BYU sports when we're at church.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Don't you feel this way? I don't care about BYU sports, so when they go up there and tell me, oh, I mean, I've had a bishop who teasingly threatened to, like, kick supporters of the U out of the ward. Yuck, yuck, yuck. It's all fun and games, I get that. But people, come on. Just leave it on
Jeff,
the field.
You're a wiener.
Thank you.
Go cast your spell on that guy.
Crucio!
Let's see. We had a proper year for the 50 farms and orchards across the United States for the church welfare system. They've been having
bumpkin.
We're on track for 7 years of plenty, Jeff. What could possibly go wrong with that?
So we're gonna hit a famine here pretty soon, people.
That's what I'm guessing.
Next year there will be
repeats itself.
Next year we will be manna less. So don't do it.
You're thinking of mayonnaise. Okay, so Jeff, the main takeaways from this, people, are you need to go and vote for us for Mormons of the Year. We would like to be Mormons of the Year, if only to stroke our own ego. That's what we
and
like.
Also to pull, this will be like a Mormon Stephen Colbert moment for us. What a coup. What a coup for us.
Yes. Times of season other won't even know what see. Hit him.
Other recap things that you might have noticed. The big news, of course, the article about Book of Mormon translations.
Jeff,
go read that if you're not familiar.
I'm
going
to pay $7 to promote my post on Facebook and get all of my friends to vote for me.
Do it. Do it. It's worth every penny. But anyways, in serious things that really, really do matter, Book of Mormon translations, good to know if you don't know your church history, and good to know to share with people who might take issue with rumors they've heard about the way the Book of Mormon came to light. Definitely go and read that. It's worth your time. And visit Mormon Island.
Yes, we'll go.
An island
All right, Jeff.
Full of Mormons.
Hey, Happy New Year, buddy. Woo!
Thank you.
May all your acquaintance be forgot.
Thanks. And folks, we also hope that, I guess we've kind of laxed on it during the Christmas break, and that's okay, but gospel study sesh. Al, you're not tired of it, are you?
No, I enjoy it. I actually really do like it. I like having a question to think on and ponder. It actually gets me back in my scriptures a lot easier than just trying to feel like I should be back in my scriptures. Yes. So let's all be good.
So if you don't know what that is, go subscribe, go to our website, find the gospel study sesh thing, get on there, get on our email list, join it, sign up for the sesh, and we'll be sending you. It's like Book of Mormon 365, but interactive in the sense that we actually give you questions to answer. That's the idea.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah. Join that.
All right, so drop us an email. Email us, contact at This Week in Mormons, or go visit our website, thisweekinmormons.com, and leave us a comment. We'd love to hear from you.
By the way, did you know there was a comment in last week's episode that was facetious, to say the least?
Which one?
A comment from Jixum that said, "What? You have a website? Why is this the first I'm hearing about this?" Because of when we specifically say, go to our website at thisweekinmormons.com and leave us a comment. So, Jixum, kudos to you, sir.
Did you embed my Chuck Norris fan mail?
I might have.
That is brilliant.
Don't. Oh my gosh. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. I do things with your videos that you don't need to worry about. Anyway, and yeah, folks, find us contact at thisweekinmormons.com is our email address, facebook.com/thisweekinmormons, at The Real Twim on Twitter. Those are the big ones. Go subscribe to us on YouTube, though, if you're so inclined. You can find lots of goodies on there. On there. What are you watching?
Can't wait, Jeff. Cannot wait.
What are you smiling about?
Have a great weekend. Everybody go vote. We're so excited.
Thanks, folks.
To be
Everybody,
part of
please vote for us, and we hope your new year is kicking off and that you have a really good new year, and we're excited to enter the fifth year of production of This Week in Mormons, everyone. Thanks to all of you. Appreciate it.
If we win, can I print off an award for myself?
Absolutely.
And
we will frame it? We will frame them. And I'll put it on my LinkedIn page. Under awards and accolades.
Mormon of the year for 2013.
Yeah, exactly.
Done. All right.
All right.
Hey, we'll see everybody.
See
you,
buddy. See y'all. Thanks, folks, for listening in. We hope you have a great week. Once again, this has been This Week in Mormons, the best Mormon podcast that has ever existed in the history of humanity. And we'll talk to you all then. Bye-bye. Expecto Patronum.